I'm Pastor Nicole Chapman Farley, Interim Associate Pastor, and this is The Message. We're glad that you are listening from here in Libertyville, Lake County, or around the world. Center your heart now with a prayer for illumination. Listen deeply to Holy Scripture, and allow the message to speak God's word for your life.
Please join your hearts with mine in our prayer for illumination. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. The first scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts. This reading, our readings today, both of them, are aligned with the Sunday school lesson for the day, which is Be a Witness. And so our readings are traditionally heard after Easter. In this first reading from Acts, the presence of God's resurrection grace, for God raised Jesus, is expressed when the community provides for the needy among them with their own resources. Now from the book of Acts. The community of believers was one in heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no greedy persons among them. Those who owned properties or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. This is the end of the first reading of Scripture today. May God put this reading to our use.
You'd think I'd remember what side I need to put my foot up on, but no. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this Lenten season, where we are leaning into the theme of being bread for the journey for others, selling all your things and giving First Pres the proceeds to distribute to folks as they need does feel like the ultimate way of doing this. Indeed, this reading, along with Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, suggest that the church's mission in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth is rooted in and grows out of the fundamental imperative to care for one another, according to Professor Samuel Ballantyne. Now, Professor Alan Padgett names that this way of being church is an ideal and explains that this ideal of unity is not of the bureaucratic kind, but of purpose and mission and values. Of note, he also acknowledges that such unity is rare in the human story and just as rare in church history. It is not instinctive for us to behave the way we read that the early church did. Earliest peoples clanned up for survival, assuring critical skills were covered by the collected group. But they clanned up into small groups of people that they assessed that they could trust. Scholar of marital relationships, John Gottman, speaks of trust among two people as believing that they have your best interests at heart. Of believing that the other person has your best interest at heart. In any relationship, be it marriage or a friendship or a siblinghood or a business partnership, it can seem hard enough to consistently and constantly believe that one person has your best interest at heart. Can you imagine trusting that a group of people have your best interest at heart? Even sharing a unity based on a mutual sense of purpose, mission, and values, such trust is hard to maintain. Ballantyne points out that the texts that follow this reading from Acts report that the community's response to the needy was neither automatic nor constant. Barnabas is singled out as one who did sell his property and lay the proceeds at the apostles' feet. Ananias and Sapphira sold their property but kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. In the individualistic culture, which is the air that we breathe here in Northern America, we have forgotten or even eschewed the care for community. While communism is deeply flawed, like any other societal structure, it has highlights. And mindfulness and respect toward the good of the whole over the good of the self is a notable highlight. Here, not unlike ancient Israel with Ananias and Sapphira, our primary concern is often whether someone else has our best interest at heart, rather than reflecting on whether we have the best interests of others at our heart. To be freed of that worry of our own needs being met in order to live with the abundance of grace that was at work in the early church when they were at their best requires a trust that our best interests are being considered so we can broaden our concern and consideration beyond ourselves. Trusting other humans can feel extraordinarily vulnerable, can't it? But what if we were able to hold firm to the trust that God has our best interests at heart? For indeed, God desires for us to have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says it himself as we read in the Gospel of John. What a vulnerable posture to take. Yet, when we do hold that simple trust that God has what is best for us in God's heart, even more than the lilies of the field, even more than the birds of the air, we find that we can rest our fears and worries about ourselves in order to focus on others, even inviting them and teaching them to hold the same trust in God. Our reading from 1 John says, "We announce to you what existed from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have seen and our hands handled about the word of life. The life was revealed, and we have seen and we testify and announce to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also announce it to you so that you can have fellowship with us." These believers held a confidence in eternal life, born out of what they had seen and touched. And trusting in the promise of eternal life, they sought to share that relief, that belief, with others. On our best days, as individuals and as the church, we can live this ideal, trusting that God is caring for our needs so we won't worry about them. But some days, the dog threw up, and we missed our train, and we forgot about a test, and we got into a fight with our friend at school, and the sun didn't come out, and those all feel like needs we would also like God to meet, thank you very much. In short, Some days we experience life as the humans we are, with limitations and frustrations. Whenever the early church, made up of humans just like us, met this ideal, how did they do it? We read in Acts that an abundance of grace was at work among them all. Friends, in this season of being bread for the journey for others, I invite you into this practice of grace, so you too might cultivate and harvest an abundance of grace. When you find your kids' socks stuffed between the couch cushions, pause and remember how you left your socks on the floor when you were a kid. When you see your spouse's stack of papers on the dining room table, pause and remember your stack of magazines under the coffee table. And when you find someone doing something in a way you wouldn't do, or living in a way you wouldn't live, or thinking in a way you wouldn't think, pause. Remember that no one else has lived your particular life in the exact way that you have. And then pray that the Spirit will help you find the grace to remember that you have not lived the particular life of that person in the exact way that they have. In so doing, you become bread for their journey, a living invitation into the fellowship of those who are doing their best to trust in the care of God for our deepest needs, a powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So may it be for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening on our podcast or through our YouTube playlist of sermons. Be sure to forward this message to someone who you believe is seeking God's word today.